All the way from wherever you're hearing this, AOK Productions presents On Repeat with your host, Evan Kay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Repeat podcast. My name is Evan Kay. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. In this very crazy time we now have to live in, on the other side of the microphone is my better half. My wife, Kaylin, is here.
Hi, everyone.
As she waves to the microphone again. It's been a bit of a week.
It has.
It's been a bit of a week. You know, some great things. Some amazing things.
Some stressful things.
Some shit show stuff all piled together in a great week that actually helped me learn a lot more about myself. Let's start with the positives. Rate your week, babe. What was the highlight of your week?
Like this week or last week? Cuz our last pod episode was
That's right. We didn't do a show last week.
Yeah. We're going to try to do every other week, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever these go out,
whenever
we'll go
we
out.
Feel. Yeah. Hey, we have some time to kill.
Yeah, since the last time we hit record, how has your life been?
I honestly can't remember.
I can't remember
either.
I have
the worst time. And people are like, oh, what did you do over the weekend? I'm like,
nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing and everything.
Yeah.
A little
hectic.
Yeah.
For me, it was just like, I really had to like balance my shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think that
same.
Was my highlight of the past couple weeks is just figuring out how to balance everything right now. Because some days I'm like, just want to sleep. Other days I'm like, okay, I got to get everything done. Other days is I only want to do half of what I'm supposed to do.
And today is one of those days.
Yeah, I guess.
Where we have a bunch of stuff to do, but we're both just...
Strum.
And kind of the reason why... I don't want to say the reason why, but we had a very kind of eventful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hearing this on Monday, the day that it...
airs.
The day that this comes out, past weekend, I had the pleasure of playing guitar for Kimi A. Minor at the Blue Note. We did two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday, and it was so nice to just play to play. You know, that was my first Kimi A related gig, I think, since Grammy week, which was January.
Well, there was that one show in March, like the beginning of March, before everything.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Downhill.
Yeah. Sheesh, I even forgot that. That's how crazy of a year it's been so far. But yeah, so we played the Blue Note this past weekend.
And that's practically August already.
And yeah, August is August is what, Saturday?
I'm looking forward to Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we have...
What holiday are you looking forward to?
We have, you know, Kaylin and I have fall, summer, fall birthdays. Kaylin's birthday is coming up this week. Again, if you're hearing this on the day that it airs, it's coming up this week. Send her love. Her birthday's on the 30th.
No, it's not.
And her birthday's July 30th.
No, it's not.
Trust me. Trust me.
It's
not. She's a liar.
No.
And my birthday's August. So
August of what?
People know.
I know.
People know my birthday's
the 31st.
You
post about it. That's why.
So when this whole thing kicked off in March, we didn't realize then that we would be celebrating our July and August birthdays in this.
We didn't anticipate
in this thing. So now that it's like dawning on us that, you know,
this is gonna be till the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough realization, you know. I've been keeping up with Lieutenant Governor Josh Green on Instagram, and he made a point today when he said that we've had the same amount of cases in the last 30 days. We've had more cases in the last 30 days than in the last 150 days or the first 150 days. And, you know, like this past weekend, it was like 60, 70 new cases a day. And it was just consecutive days of record high numbers going up and up. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of a tough realization, you know, for guys like us, if you're also a creative, you know, it was, I believe it was Isaac who said it on the, I want to say it was Honolulu Magazine.
Yes, I think I saw that.
Yeah,
Insta
where, you know, post. He had made the point that, you know, music was the first things to go even before the hotels started going,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now it's going to be one of the last things to fully come back into yeah. full swing. And it's kind of been, you know, over the last couple months, it's been a very interesting challenge to kind mm-hmm. of be creative and find alternate ways to be creative.
Yeah.
But now that we're having to play it, especially with the hurricane that as of today has just passed us, literally hooked a turn away from us at the last minute and narrowly missed us. It's an interesting time to try and be, for me as a creative, speaking for myself, to be innovative for the sake of not going insane. You know, there are things that I love to do, and I love to do music, and, you know, I love to explore all those other areas of visual media, and it's been great, but it's been a challenge to find ways to essentially kill time is all that at least I've been doing. You know, Kaylin, as we've stated before, Kaylin was working through this whole thing. Hasn't stopped. Well, for me, it was, I had to essentially change up the way that I was operating. And I was talking to a couple of friends the other day. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be engineering and producing more now, and kind of get my hands dirty in, you know, behind the DAW, behind the DAW. For those of you that know what that means in studio world. And for me right now, it's like having to potentially lock myself inside again. It's like I've been spending the last 4 months trying to paint every color imaginable with a 12-color crayon box. And it's just trying to wring every inch of that creativity and that sanity out, because now I have the space and the time for it, you know, and it's been a pleasant challenge,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also just been straight up difficult. Like, you know, it's, how do I say this? You know, like I just got back in the studio maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I have songs done. Like, songs are ready to get mastered once I give them the thumbs up. Or, like, to be sent. It's all mixed and everything, and it's ready, and it's waiting for me to say to send it. And it's just hard for me to find that reason to do the things that I would normally do, because they can no longer involve the rest of the normal process. You know, like when I came out back in April, it was so weird. Like, that date was planned pre-shutdown to release it on, I want to say it was the 3rd of April, was planned before everything got shut down. We planned that out in like the end of February. And to not be able to go out and play it at gigs and to do, you know, to enjoy it, that release with people was the hardest thing for me to do. And it essentially just kind of like fell off the face of the earth because there was no way for me to tell people and for no way, there was no way for me to enjoy that new music without being out enjoying it with people. And it's hard for me to restructure those kind of processes because of the way that things are going now. You know, I play at venues where they have those stanchions like making a huge circle around me. And then I play venues where they have plexiglass flying in the ceiling. Flying, for those of you that don't know theater terms, flying essentially means hanging from the ceiling. I'm going to go on a tangent. In theater, you know, there's not a lot of backstage space for things to kind of be on stage. So they need to be flown, which is put on strings or put on ropes and come up and down from the ceiling. So when it's flown, it means it's hanging. Anyway, the more you know, da da da. It's been challenging, but it's been very cool to see, it's not just for me, but for everybody, the ways in which we can still not go crazy. And that's all it is for me, at least, is how to find ways to not lose my goddamn mind. Also, people tell me that they hate when I do that. Whoops. Yeah, you know, it was a nice revelation this past weekend playing the Blue Note. And this will probably come as a shock to those of you that know me as well as you do. I found the part of me that does not overthink. I found that part of me existed this weekend. And it was a bit nuts realizing that part of me existed. And I don't know how I feel about it. Because if you know me, as I'm sure most of you here know me, I am the overanalyzer and I am the, oh, but 15 steps down the line, this may or may not probably could happen. So we're going to change the whole plan because of this one variable that's like 99.4% probably not going to happen. But just in case, you know, the 0.6, I'll paint the scene. And Kaylin was actually there last... Oh, I gave away when we were recording. Last night. We're recording this on Sunday.
You can cut this part out.
No. We're recording this the day before it comes out. So this was the night 2 of the Blue Note residency. And Kimie Miner's management team very graciously decided to plan a surprise for her. Because, you know, quarantine birthdays and all. So it was, the plan was at the end of the show to have Kimie walk back up on stage. And my job was to essentially cut her off and introduce the surprise. Because she had no idea that we were planning this part of the show. And when it, essentially the reason why I got nominated was because I was one of two people with microphones already in front of them, because I was singing for the show, singing and playing guitar, and it made sense. So I was getting so nervous backstage when they had asked me to do that, because my whole brain is going, oh my God, what do I say? What if she cuts me off? What if she gets mad at me? Like, it's going to make me so nervous when I'm looking, like when she's looking at me, like, what the fuck are you doing? And it took a second, but the minute I got up on stage and I totally forgot that this part of the show was happening. The guy bringing the cake, the guy holding the cake had to wave me down so that I could remember we were doing the bit. And I forgot we were doing the bit up until we actually went. And the minute I opened my mouth, I totally stopped overthinking it. And the fact that part of me has never been there before, like the part where I'm actually not, it there's a difference between overthinking, mm-hmm. like not overthinking and not caring, and not overthinking because you're confident in what's going on, you know? There's a difference between me derailing the show and going, you know, and not caring about what's happening, or there's the part of me of, okay, I know what I'm doing. Why am I overthinking this? And then going. And that was probably the scariest thing I ever had to do, was look, well, it, because everyone knew what was going on except essentially our boss. The woman running the show was the only person that did not know what was going on. And if it was my show and I was doing a surprise for somebody else,
you would want to know.
No.
I mean, you would want to, like,
I would, like, if it was my show and I was initiating a surprise for like one of my band members or something else, that I wouldn't care about because it's my show. But for me catching Kimmy A off guard and her giving me the like hands on the shoulder or the hands on the hips, like, Evan, what the fuck are you doing? Like face, like, yeah, talk, newbie. To see that whole part happen, like my whole brain went into slow motion. Like, what am I saying? But also she's staring at me and the whole band is noticing that she's staring at me, but I have to keep pushing through because there's somebody that she's not seeing with a cake back there. But it was hard to not, it was hard in the beginning, but the minute I stopped worrying about it was the moment I eased, you know, and a lot of me overthinking is my is me telling myself that I'm going to upset someone, so I have to think 15 steps ahead to make sure everyone's happy. You know, and not to say that overthinking is going to upset people, but for me, I had to realize that when the act of overthinking is my fear of people getting mad at me, and realizing that they're either going to get mad and realizing they were wrong, or going to get mad and get over it. Because honestly, the third option is they get mad and stay mad. And if that's the person you're dealing with, fuck them. It made it easy. You know? I had no idea that non-overthinking gene
was in you.
Was in me.
And now you know.
And now it's helping me change my process now. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've had it for all of a day and now I'm woke as fuck. But now it's hard. It's harder for me to look at what, you know, March through June quarantine was. And now, I mean, really, this is the end of July. We're hitting August next week. Actually, yeah. This coming Saturday already.
Yeah.
It's going to be August 1st.
And we're kind of still in quarantine.
Yeah.
But not really.
Kind of not
because
really.
Because there's way more people now out on the road.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more traffic. But like all of Waikiki is still closed besides
yeah.
like three restaurants and Blue Note.
Yeah. You know, I was told that Hyatt is going to be closed until like August, you know, like the middle of August or something like that, which is crazy.
And then a restaurant, someone told us
yeah.
they're going to open. They're not, or they're thinking about not opening until 2021.
Yeah. And it's knowing that the ability to be calm and resolute's the bad word, or it is not a good word, but to be content with the flexibility of how things play out on its own and not feeling the need to control it as much as I frickin' want to is helping me kind of pull the blinders and kind of clear the fog on the last few months of quarantine, you know, like, and I feel I can be open about it, you know. I don't want to say that I ever went without, because my family and my extended family really did make sure that we were, my siblings and I were okay, but we were not a family living with excess, you know. There were times where my family were on the verge of living without, and there were times where it was paycheck to paycheck because everything was, you know, things weren't just set up right. I'll put it that way. I try to be vague about this because I know my family listens to this show. So, but I'll say that my family was not the most financially stable throughout my childhood. Therefore, I'm the kind of person that is the exact opposite of that. Like, I feel the need to have all of this, you know, like a more than decent savings before I even try to do anything. And it when the quarantine hit, I was the first one to panic. Because I was fearful of the possibility that I was going to go back to that way of living when I was a kid. Praise the Lord that did not happen to us, because my beautiful wife was able to keep working on her two projects. She could still work on both of them during the initial quarantine, like of end of March, beginning of April, when no one knew what the fuck was going on. And it was now that we're heading into August, which is, you know, given the way that the numbers are going here, you know, I'm personally, for me, I'm operating with the idea that come next week, come tomorrow, you know, things are going to change. Like, I'm of the mindset that, you know, just like, you know, I was about to get ready for a gig. Like, I was at my gig, eating lunch, about to get set up, when the announcement was made that things were closing, and the venue that I was playing at literally read the article, told us to go home, and then closed at the top of the hour. And those things, as much as I want to control them and have every facet of my life be under my power, it's fucked me up so bad over the last few months because that's not how we live anymore. We live by being reactionary now. You know, this has been going on since like January, just in the U.S. COVID was coming back to the U.S. and like the news was covering it in like January. And we all had to live in a reactionary way where we were told this is what's happening, and we all had to go, okay, so therefore, this is how I have to be now. And that was hard for me, and it still is hard to live in that cliche world of, you know, you don't know what you have until it is gone, and until it is taken away, you know, like a few months ago, right before we took that whole break in June, where, you know, I didn't know what to do with myself when I wasn't gigging.
Yeah.
And I had to find something else to do.
Yeah.
And I had to, as we circle back to the top of what we were talking about, to be innovative and find ways to be productive. And for me, it was really to not go crazy, because I'm also the kind of person that feels like resting is laziness, even though resting is healthy for you. Because you can still be productive while you rest, because as I often find out the hard way, your body needs to rest. And it was so challenging for me. And now being able to fully understand, like, taking today to really sit on that idea of, oh, I don't have to have it all together. I need to have all of myself together, but I don't need to hold the world together with tape and staples. And my job is to take care of myself and the people in my circle, while, as my beautiful wife raises her hand, yes, babe, to take care of me and us while reacting quickly and effectively to the world at large. You know, I spinning it back into music, because this was kind of supposed to be a music show. You know, I was taught at a very early age that when you're working on music, and when you're writing, and when you're producing, shout out to Bailey Matsuda, who I know does not listen to this. He said the key to success in music, but in life, is to make good and smart decisions quickly. You know, when you're in the studio, at a studio that charges you by the minute, you need to be able to know what you want and know what is being given to you and either act or react accordingly. And, you know, it's happened to me in the studio where, you know, a piece of gear fails, or, you know, when I was doing Come Back Home to Me, the duet version from a couple years ago. Actually, I haven't told this story. We did that song in a day. We rented out a recording studio called Blue Planet Sound, and we rented it out for the day. I think we rented it out for like 10 or 12 hours, maybe 8 or 10 hours. But I got sick, and I did not have a voice. So all the photos you see of me in Blue Planet with that super beautiful, oh my gosh, I think it's, is it, Teaito, that's the brand of the shirt, that I outgrew. If you see photos of me wearing that shirt, mind you, these photos are like 2.5 years old, almost 3 years old. No, I think almost 2 years old. I'm actually sick in all those photos. I was sick. I had no voice. And we had to record that whole song without me being able to talk. And very luckily, my producer, Imu Agarza, who is a genius at what he does and a genius at everything he does, knew what I needed, so I didn't have to talk. But that ability of, oh, this was our plan. Evan's going to come in and sing. Evan's going to do this, and then we'll come in and do that. We had to flip the whole thing that day, that morning, because I had no voice. And I had no singing voice. And it was that ability to be reactionary and say, okay, this is the new plan. Like, this is what we have to do now. And we can't plan 15, 20, 25 steps ahead. We just have to go in this direction that I'm pretty sure we need to go, and then hit the roadblock when we get there and figure it out in real time. And I was so stressed that day when we were in the recording studio, because I could not for the life of me, I can't even look at those studio photos and the videos from that. Even though Tiani Hester now did an incredible job with those photos. And we used her photos for the album cover. And those are her photos that we used. And that was not a trait that I possessed. You know, I want to say that I've always had it in me to be able to be flexible, but it was hard for me to do it. It was hard for me to do it without overthinking it, you know? It was easy for me to be reactionary while also overthinking the process. And now I'm coming into a better scope of how to be reactionary and also, you know, take life as it is and say, you know, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to roll with it. And, you know, I've been a part of the church for a long time, and that is essentially the principle of faith, you know? But for me, I don't think that way, because as much as I do believe in faith, for me, it was very hard as a kid to give up my control of myself because I was burned by people. So now I want to say that's kind of when the overthinking started to come, was when I realized that I didn't necessarily have the support that I needed when I was a kid. Like, I did a show out at, I think it was like Camp Erdman or something recently. Not recently, a couple months ago. For this youth group. And one of the guys, one of the old pastors that I used to have, that burned me and kind of like betrayed trust a little bit, was there as a camp leader. And after we were done, I kid you not, I saw him, recognized him, packed up my stuff, and immediately left. Because it brought me back to that moment of when I first started to overthink a process so that people wouldn't get mad at me. And I was overthinking a process to not get hurt again. And I think that's what started it all. But to realize that the people that need to be around you are the people that will get mad but not stay mad, and the people that and the people that may correct you without the need to, I guess, the need to be above. You know, I definitely found myself in situations where I was navigating people's appreciation, but I was trying to navigate people's approval of me, and I was trying to navigate a way to kind of lay low so that I wouldn't get burned and hurt again. And when I realized that that's not a big deal, and that doesn't need to be a big deal for me, like, yes, guard yourself, but also the people that really are there for you won't try to break you down anyway. What is there to overthink anymore? You know, and like I said, there's a difference between bulldozing your way through a situation, ignorance, but there's also a way to not overthink someone's situation, the situation we're in now, the way that life is moving, the way that the world is operating, but to overthink people's emotions, people's reactions, and things that you can't control, and things that you never could and couldn't if you tried, is making it easier for me to operate in other realms of my life, because I'm taking this thing that's probably always made itself known to me, but the bird of genius just shit on my head last night, is starting, I'm starting to be more aware to to how to now operate in these spaces. And, you know, as we head into this next week, you know, for me, I'm going to try and be a little less overthinker-y.
Gotta log it.
Kaylin's like, do you think I can do it, honestly?
Maybe. I don't know.
She doesn't believe in me, you guys. We'll see
I'm not saying like log every second, but I think you should do like a reflection thing, like log at the end of each day and be like, this is how I felt. This is where I felt like I wanted to break somebody's head.
You know?
But I didn't.
That's probably a really good idea.
Like self-reflection. Yeah. And see how your week, like if you know your intention, like, oh, this week I'm going to break this habit, or this week I'm going to be better at XYZ. You should log, like, just doesn't have to be super articulate and detailed, but a quick little 3-sentence summary or something at the end of every day or whatever.
Yeah. And I realize that needs to be a thing. Because like journaling, recapping, being aware of yourself is, you know, for humans, that's how you learn more about yourself, is to actually force yourself to think about the things that you would just ignore and let slide. But also, you know, for us creatives, the storytellers, when you articulate how you feel and what you think, your stories become more personal and they start to become more relatable. I was about to say relative, but that's not where I was going with that. You know, because for me, Retrograde came out, all those songs, maybe a good like half of it was written maybe in about 2 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, the songs?
Yeah. Oh. When Retrograde started, when I started recording Retrograde, I only had 4 songs finished.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I only had, I don't even remember my track list. I have to log into Spotify to remember what my track list was. I want to say that when I started recording, when I started recording Retrograde, I only had, Running Shoes, Fantasize, Come Back Home to Me, and Save You written before even starting. Like, I didn't walk in to my first studio day with all the songs finished. And for guys like me, where we're independent artists and we don't have time to buy out a studio to write a song, all the songs need to come written and rehearsed and semi-arranged and dropped in front of the producer going, here is my song. Make it prettier than I could have ever done myself. And I wrote Better When. I wrote Better When, Running Shoes, Come Back Home to Me, and Bring You Back. I wrote those in about 4 weeks. I remember writing Better When in the while waiting for my food at Wahoo's, watching, I think it was Simple Souls play. And
You remember all these details.
Yeah,
I'm like,
and then
I
went
up
and played the song for the first time live with Simple Souls. But the reason why I was able to articulate all of those emotions so effectively was because I was going to therapy. And I didn't mean to scoff when I said therapy. It was because I forgot. The reason why all those songs came out so quickly, was because I was in therapy talking about the things that I was feeling and talking about how I was functioning throughout the day. And I wasn't journaling at the time because I was going to therapy, but that's how all the songs came out. Was being more in tune with what I was feeling and how to effectively but also creatively communicate how I was feeling. And which led to all of those songs coming out. And now that I don't do those things, although I do have a book that says 300 writing prompts that I bought from Target. Also, hack for you guys songwriting. Buy a writing book. I bought a book from Target called 300 Writing Prompts. And then there's another book at Target, naturally, called 300 More Writing Prompts, where literally I'm just going to say stop.
Stop.
One or two. What questions are you afraid to ask but really need answers to? It's one of the questions in the book. And then I write out short essay, and then I write a song based on the answer I wrote. Simple hack for you guys that are in a creative block. But it helped me. It helped me become more fine-tuned into the who I really was and what was really bothering me. And again, it took a decent sized brick house to drop on my head for me to realize the self-induced nonsense that I've been in for the better part of, when did that first incident happen? 15 years? I was like, no, 10 years? Over 10 years. Because I was definitely... No, I want to say it was 10 years. It was definitely 10 years. Sometimes it takes a whole brick house landing on you for you to realize how much of a shit show you are. Take it from me and learn from me. That might be a thing I'm going to do. So the next time we're here, we'll bring a little more music into the kind of the way that we're trying to operate. And maybe if I'm bold or drunk enough, maybe we'll take what we learned from the journal and maybe we'll write a song live on the show. We'll see. But that might be as big of a cliffhanger as I can leave it for the next show, which I have no idea is going to come out next because we're still trying to figure it out. We're trying to be more consistent about it. So it's either going to be every other week or every week, depending on...
Once a month. No, not that.
Hopefully... At least more frequent than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, this week is Kaylin's birthday week.
No, it's not.
It's
not.
You're going to throw people off, babe.
It's not.
Because everyone knows that the 30th is your birthday. And also, cases are going back up again. So maybe we'll be able to try and figure things out again. But until next time, want to give a huge shout out to the girls over at Hey You Hi There, because I listened to their show and they shouted me out. And I texted this to Quinn. I texted this to Quinn the day that I think it was episode 0 came out, when they were talking about it. The first podcast Mel ever heard was mine. So, Mel, I'm honored to pop your podcast cherry. But go listen to them if you haven't yet. Hey You Hi There episode 0 and 1 are up, and they very graciously shouted me out for this craziness of a thing that we get to call a podcast episode. So if you're not already tuned in, please feel free to give the show a follow. Where you can follow the show, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can follow it on Spotify, and go do all the rate things, go do all the fun things. And also, if you feel you know of someone that that might benefit from what we're talking about, please feel free to share this episode with them. I love talking, so this might be a thing that we do more consistently and do in more ways than just audio. Hint, hint. So, with that said, please follow the show at The On Repeat Pod. I'm at Evan K. This is at Kaylin, K-H-A-Y. And until next time, we will see you very soon. Later.